to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are. Indeed, you are on the third day of a new year.
You are. You are. A little technical glitch today. Hasn't happened 140
shows.
Isn't
it?
Yeah. I'm all a tither. I'm all beklempt. I am. Am I glowing?
You are.
I have that look.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's either glowing or sweating like a plow horse.
There you go.
But I don't sweat. I told you that, right? I'm one of those few Italians who doesn't perspire. I don't. I'm going to explode when I'm 50, but I don't
Wait a minute. You're going to the gym these days. You're doing all the
things. I am, and I don't. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I have to be like roofing in New Orleans in July in order to sweat. It's very, very strange.
We can make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the video.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good to see you. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to be anywhere.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Express and Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California, and we're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Indeed we are, Paul, and our first show of the new year is with a star who has not only starred on stages in San Francisco, Los Angeles,
I feel like I should be humming now. I should be humming something.
Oh, she has been busting the charts with her debut CD. The CD is aptly titled Look Around. The star is aptly one of our own. Southern California's one and only Eden Espinosa is in the house.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
And I have no applause button.
And you
Ronan,
don't.
Ronan, we need you. Ronan, I got no applause. And she
there
is,
you go. We
she
have
deserves
our own
it.
Applause. She does.
She deserves it.
She does.
Yes.
Hello, Eden.
Hi.
Not playing.
I can
don't
applaud myself.
The
I don't
audience
mind.
Is still filing in.
We played our little, yes.
For me.
We're just fiddling with our equipment here.
Yeah.
We're fiddling with our equipment, and I hope we don't go
is
blind.
Is that what they're
yes.
saying?
Yes.
Oh,
I was going to
say,
yeah.
Don't go down
should
that
we try
road.
It again? See if they applaud?
I will.
No.
There
you go.
Stop it. Stop
let's
it.
Try that again. Yes,
oh,
totally.
The one and only Eden Espinosa
quite
is
worth
in the
okay.
house.
We'll see. Well, hopefully this won't happen on the tracks we have later. So if it is, we'll ask Ronan.
Ronan, you
come
might
back.
Want to sit in here today.
But Ronan comes in like the wind, doesn't
he? Does,
he
doesn't
he's
he?
So,
he's kind
he's
of like
so
a ninja.
Covert.
He
is.
He just sneaks in and
he's
out.
He's like a radio ninja.
Yes.
So anyway, Michael,
I feel like we're Howard Stern and company now, right?
What? Is
Howard
that a nose joke? Is that a thinly veiled nose joke? Is that what
now
that is?
You say
because I tell you, man, I put that wig on and I put those glasses on and it's eerie. It really,
really?
Is. It's spooky. Yeah.
So have you ever run into him like that when you've been wearing that wig and those glasses?
No. No, I'm not a stalker, Michael.
The fact
play
that you
Misty
have
for
a
me,
wig
Howard.
Is
what's
a
it?
Little disturbing to me.
I,
that you have
I
a Howard Stern wig.
I had a wig
disturbing
for another reason. I was doing a Paul Stanley thing. I was doing a kiss thing.
Okay.
Which is actually a little more off-putting when you think about it.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, seriously, I put that wig on. I put those glasses on. Except now he's had all the work done. You know, because you've seen Howard Stern. He's had everything,
yes.
you know, tweaked.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he weighs about 9 pounds now because
right.
he's in that sort of, you know, Hollywood mindset where you have to, your hips have to form a rain gutter for your waist in order to look good on camera. So I don't look like him anymore. But back when I was still smoking and doing various illicit narcotics and I was a lot thinner than I am now,
yeah.
I looked far more like him.
Well,
yeah.
Now I have a whole
now
new
Now I look
image
like Alfred Molina.
You.
That's what I look like now.
No, you don't.
I look like a hybrid of Howard
oh my
Stern.
Gosh.
Alfred, that's a good thing.
Alfred Molina, yes. Not that there's anything wrong with Alfred Molina,
no
but
way.
I look at like Alfred Molina. What was... Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just... I had all that gazpacho. Anyway, how was your week, Michael? How was your
My
week? I'm
week,
just vamping.
I am so busy, and happily so, happily so. But between the opening of LA's Next Great Stage, Dark
yes.
Park, it opens this
mm-hmm.
coming Sunday afternoon,
yes.
and what that is, Eden and Joseph. Joseph, Eden's husband, we should say.
Has joined us today, yes. And as
Hello.
Soon as I get a screen back, I'll give you applause,
so,
too.
I might add. But LA's Next Great Stage Story is something that we presented to Los Angeles patrons of the arts, and it is the discovery of new talent for the musical theater stage.
Nice.
Very much like American Idol and its foundation, but it's all geared to musical theater. We get these young ones that are right out of SC and UCLA and UCI down in Irvine. And you're a SoCal girl. You know all these places.
That's great.
And we give them this opportunity to perform consistently for 6 weeks in front of a live audience, competing against one another for the title of this competition, $1,000 cash prize. And they're performing in front of an overall panel of 20 of the most important theater aficionados in town, from the artistic directors to the directors of theater to the casting directors of theater, etc. And all of the theaters in town, I must say, this year have really, really supported us in a huge way, that from the Center Theater Group to the Pantages to our regional, you know, theaters.
Yeah.
They're all there, and they're all judging for us, and they kind of wait for this event because they find talent that they end up hiring.
I was just going to say, Michael, that was, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's not a selfless act that they're doing those things, but, I mean, they've seen what's happened to the people who've competed. They've gone to Broadway, and they've
Seven of our kids have gone already, in just the 6 years we've been doing it, have already made their Broadway debuts.
That's amazing.
And or off-Broadway debuts.
Yeah.
And
our
first place runner-up this year opened this week as the female star of Rock of Ages in the Las Vegas sit-down.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes, at the Venetian.
Yeah.
How great is that?
That's amazing.
Right?
Wow, I wish I had that when I was living
here.
Yeah,
so at the right age.
You know what?
And 22.
Let's put our hands together for them, shall we?
Yay!
Okay. For all of this year's Stage Star contestants. So that's one thing. And then I've got a fabulous show tonight at the club. I have a supper club. It's called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
Ah.
The Federal, you know.
Used to live right there before the Federal.
Yes, before the Federal became the Federal.
And we would always walk by. And
right by El Portal there?
Yeah. And we try to look inside and be like, oh, this building. We want to buy it.
It's
oldest building.
It's
building
so
in the
amazing.
Valley.
In the Valley.
Yeah. We actually called the number to try and buy it.
Did you really?
When they were selling it.
Yeah.
When they were trying to sell it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's just such an incredible space. Yeah.
Oh, so the building is the oldest, but the Federal hasn't been there long. How long has it been the Federal?
Well, it was called the Federal when it opened as a Federal Bank, as the Federal Bank in 1926.
Don't lose me in your jargon.
Yeah. They've just reverted back to the original title.
I see. No, but how long is it since it's been that restaurant?
Couple years.
Not even.
Oh,
yeah.
A
year
and
a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
when
we were living there before, they opened a nightclub called Bank.
Yes.
It was, and then
Bank
that,
Heist.
Yeah, Bank Heist. And then it went on, and then we moved to New York, we came back, and then it was a proper restaurant and called the Federal.
Because I was there when it was, but we were doing a show at the El Portal when it was Bank Heist, and it was it's a little dodgy out front one night.
Well, I don't think we were cool enough for Bank Heist, but the Federal we could definitely show up.
Yeah. Well, it's the knitting factory.
That's always my first question.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an early bird special? Can I get a drink and a glass I could keep? Is that milk? anyway, let's talk to these lovely guests we have here. Michael, I would like to comment on your week with my week.
Sure,
but my week
sure.
has been just relaxation, post-holiday relaxation.
Aren't you
I'm
a
sitting
lucky
home
man.
On a milk crate, just nodding back and forth like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Oh, now
it's
you
kinda
see
tragic,
another
you
image for
no.
our
wow.
guests to have to
yeah.
deal with. Oh my God! All right.
All right. Let me give her
Please
what
do.
She is due.
Please.
As Michael stated earlier, our guest today is most recognized for her portrayal of Elphaba.
Yes.
Okay. See, I've never seen Wicked, so I don't even know
what?
How to say the name.
You and like seven other people.
I know. I'm one of the seven in the Broadway production of Wicked, which she also performed. But oddly enough, I knew Elphaba. That was a good guess anyway.
Yeah.
Broadway production of Wicked, which she also performed in San Francisco and Los Angeles to great acclaim. Known for her supercharged powers on the stage, she's also supercharged on her premiere CD, Look Around, which is climbing the charts in leaps and bounds. Please welcome Miss Eden Espinoza.
That was great.
Okay,
I feel like a rock star.
Our computer is back. So
yay!
We welcomed you back with the Who. Eden, it was so nice to. I just met you moments ago.
Yes.
I don't know, Michael. You've never met Eden before.
We have not.
Right?
We know many people in common, I'm sure, but not had the pleasure.
And
I've seen you. on stage here more than once.
Yeah. But I'm very intrigued by this today because it's always interesting to me to talk to people, and because we have both of you, it'll be a lot of fun, about the creation of a CD and all that goes into it, the creative process, and how you arrive at content. That's always my biggest question. How do you, because it's such a, I know that from people I know who've worked on CDs, by the time you produce the thing, there's so much that you love about it because you've put so much into it. It's mm-hmm. like every song is like a little story that you've written yourself and you become very attached to it. So I'm always curious about how did you arrive at your selections and the order, and were you trying to say something before you selected the songs, or did the songs dictate the story for you?
No, I don't think we had the intention in the beginning to put a list of songs together that said something. I mean, it started a couple years ago, we were talking about doing an album, and we started making a playlist, and it had roughly over 200 songs on it.
Oh, wow.
And over the time, we started whittling them down, and then we sort of decided that it would be modern Broadway content. And
any criteria to that list of like, or just songs that you've been dying to sing, you might not get an opportunity to sing depending on the
role?
They
were mostly just songs that spoke to us both, that either I honestly, a lot of them were songs that I was like, no, I don't want to sing that. Maybe songs I was afraid to sing,
okay.
or for some reason I had an aversion to, that I didn't really realize that he was like, you need to sing this song you have to sing.
Yeah.
And those ones turned out to be some of the fan favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. And I commend her a lot for her courage. It's a very scary situation to come up and try and re-sing these songs that have been done so many times by so many great vocalists.
Sure.
And then to go, okay, I'm going to try this and see, like, you don't have to beat the other people, but you still have to be good. And, you have to bring your own thing to it. And so it's a scary situation to come up and do these songs.
Was that part of the catalyst? I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say an interesting point to what he's saying, and it just harkens back to LA's Next Great Stage Star and with this young talent that comes through. Some of the information that's disseminated to them by us as producers of the competition is what not to bring into the competition.
Mm-hmm.
They have challenges to meet every week, musically speaking. It's thematic. But mm-hmm. on the first week, they can bring in anything of their own, though it has to be approved by us. But one of the things that we say to them is don't bring in something from Wicked, for example, mm-hmm. unless you sing it better than Eden Espinosa or Idina Menzel. Because it's not going to do you any good if you don't. But if you have an incredibly different arrangement of it, or your take on it is something that's so superior, by all means, give it a shot.
Right.
It is somewhat risky, but only under those circumstances.
Right.
So what you're saying is well taken.
Was that part of the catalyst of, because in reading the promotional material, I see it's sort of about making some of the Broadway standards more accessible to people who might not be huge Broadway fans but are music fans. So was that sort of the mindset in recording it?
Well, originally when, Joseph was like, I think you need to do a Broadway album, I was like, no. I literally said, no, I am not doing a Broadway album. And I don't know if it's just because, I've discovered over time as I've done stage, and then if I do a concert on my own, the fans they didn't receive other material well from me. They like always wanted me to sing theater stuff. If I did pop songs, they were like, oh, what? You didn't sing Defying Gravity. Or just recently I did an Eva Cassidy tribute show and I sang obviously all Eva Cassidy arrangements, but are you going to sing Defying Gravity? I'm like, no, actually, this is an Eva Cassidy show.
Right.
So I
are all the songs going to be off the new album?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But so I wanted, I wanted this album to be an expression of myself and a different take on modern Broadway songs, because a lot of, as a theater performer, I feel sometimes you get pigeonholed into a certain sound, even when you are doing something on your own. If it's not piano driven and, it's very theatrical, then people are like, oh, but you didn't do it this way. Or even if you do Divine Gravity in a different way.
Right.
So I just wanted to make Broadway cool in a way. And it's cool, but a lot of people are like, oh, Broadway, you know, on American Idol, for example.
Yeah, so sure.
You know, you would be great in a cabaret show on a cruise ship, or you would be great on Broadway because they have a certain sound. But in my opinion, that just means they're a better singer than some of the other people.
Right.
So, didn't you yourself work with an American Idol boy by the name of Adam
Lambert. Yes. He was in the LA production of Wicked. He's a theater kid.
Yes, he played opposite her in the production here and got that kind of business out of the way pretty quickly at the beginning of the show. But I think it was because of Paula Abdul being such a fan of his, kind of keeping him in the forefront there, as they tend to do. But
right.
It certainly paid off for him, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's doing very well.
I found that very interesting, that to find out later that he was a theater rat. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a theater kid for years, and he just sort of defined him. So he had almost this rock star persona. It was like, you just sort of, you know, built this after, which, you know, wonderful.
I must say about him just one quick thing. Mm-hmm. He did something out here, which was a benefit called Fractured Broadway. And it was about singing songs that would not, you would never be cast in the role because it was belonging to somebody else. He was second to last on the bill. Sam Harris followed him. Mm. And what Adam sang was, and I'm telling you, I'm not going, from Dreamgirls, mm-hmm. and blew the roof of the El Portal Theater right off into the stratosphere. Oh, yeah. And Sam wouldn't come out.
No way. No way. Are you kidding?
Really? He reluctantly would not follow that.
Oh, my goodness.
And ultimately did. And did his usual good job, but it certainly was a bit in the dust of Adam Lambert.
Adam's a huge talent. Yeah. Well, and
Sam is too, in all due respect. But it was just such a
I was actually supposed to do Fractured Broadway. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, I was. I was supposed to do it, and they were looking for stuff that I would never be cast as, and it turned out that it was everything by Stephen Sondheim.
Oh,
so it was a broad palette to pull from. Yeah.
How unfortunate for you. Or fortunate for us, I'm not sure.
I'm kidding.
Yes, I know.
I want to, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying, I think the path that they're on here is interesting about introducing or reintroducing Broadway into the mainstream world of pop.
Yeah.
And doing it in such a way that it's acceptable to...
And what's so cool about it is that it's so respectful of the material, because it respects Broadway songs by presenting it a different way.
Right.
But it does something that we've needed to do for years, and you and I have talked about this before. It serves to lower the median age of the theater goer. Because right now, if you look at, you know, Broadway shows, and of course a lot of that's dictated by cost and all, you know, people have more money, but we need to get younger people into theater, and if this is a conduit to it, you know, it doesn't matter what the introduction is if it gets people appreciating these songs.
And what's funny is a lot of these the modern Broadway songs, a lot of them, you know, we have a lot of pop writers and artists who are now composing Broadway shows. Sting's coming out with one, Sheryl Crow, we had Duncan Sheik, you know, U2 for Spider-Man, and even a lot of the scores, they sound pop.
Yeah.
And they don't sound quote-unquote Broadway at all, but because it is part of a Broadway show, it automatically has this, you know, aura about it, like, oh, it's Broadway.
Right.
And it does. If you didn't know it was from a Broadway show, you would never think it sounded Broadway. So that's what we kind of wanted to, for Broadway fans, bring a new perspective and a new way of hearing songs that they are very familiar with. But for non-Broadway fans, to make it accessible and have them realize, like, oh, this is actually a really great song out of context.
Yeah. So you don't need the architecture of the play around it for it to
And what's been so cool is hearing other people's interpretations of these songs that don't know the show at all. It means this to me, and it was never what it meant in the show, but it's just really cool how people are taking it and applying it to their own lives
and the experience of the song too. Like, we had a wonderful show with Riff and Bernardo from the film, George Chakiris and Russ Tamblyn on the same show.
Fabulous.
And we were talking about just the placement of songs in the show. In the film of West Side Story, they've switched Cool and Officer Krupke, mm-hmm. And how they're just completely right. different animals depending on where they fall, and then you take them out of the show and they have a completely different... But we're talking about these songs when we should actually play one.
Let's
we got one here before we get back to talking about it. This
just
is a little
teaser,
slice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
you're going to have to go buy the CD,
the album,
hear the rest of
the
it.
The album. I'm dating myself. The album. I still say album.
No, but that's actually true. When we talked about this, we didn't want to do just a list of songs or just like a lot of albums these days aren't albums anymore. They're
singles.
It's nine songs. Yeah, nine singles. Because of the way we sell music these days, it's tracks. You don't buy albums anymore.
Right.
But we wanted to come up with a cohesive sound that actually was more like an album of old. But bring it into the modern.
Like something
sound.
That so, you sit and you experience from start to finish.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've had so much positive feedback talking about like, wow, this actually is an album. It's a complete work, which is amazing.
You're right, though. I never thought about that because it's so dissected now. It's like, I don't want the album. I want the 99-cent one I can sing in the car.
I want track seven, you know. Yeah. But this one is a body. You listen to it from beginning to end, and it's just all there.
Yeah. So you're bringing it back. So
it
should be.
So the album...
Yes.
Is called Look Around.
Yes.
And it probably has liner notes. Remember liner notes?
Yeah.
I had an album once with scented liner notes. That's a whole scented sleeve. Yeah, it's
oh
a whole
other
story. This track is a little slice of a song called I Am Not That Girl.
And this is
Eden Espinosa. The album is Look Around. It is.
Nice.
And you know what? It's
very
not
nice.
Overproduced either. It's not. I'm loving the fact that the vocal is in the front and that it's very crisp, because that drives me crazy with a lot of music. It's just too.
Yes, I agree.
Too many curlicues, too many bells and whistles.
We wanted it to sound. Oh, sorry. It's so funny. We literally talk about that. We finish each other's sentences all the time. It's really weird and creepy. Like, we'll say the exact same thing at the exact same time with the exact same inflection.
But did you have to dress the same? That's
I
a little
know.
Odd.
We're that couple.
But the Eden and then Espinosa on the other shirt, just.
I'm with Eden with the arrow.
Yeah,
right?
I'm with Eden.
No, we wanted it to sound like a very organic, real sound. You know, we wanted it to sound very human. And if you heard it live, it wouldn't sound that much different.
Right.
You know, one of the things we did is we went and we listened to, you know, a lot of attempts have been made to make Broadway cool or to like Broadway my way kind of thing over the years. We went back and listened to some of these attempts. And what we realized was sometimes they were making it different for just the sake of being different, and they went too far.
Right.
They weren't really respectful to the composers or the writers' original concept, and we really, really tried to have some integrity and not go too far. You know, just present the music as it is, but just slightly take it over the precipice to the other side into the pop realm, not go crazy.
Because you still want to honor the song and you want to honor the songwriter and the piece, but that's true. I have heard recordings where just people are just like, my stamp on this will be to do it as different from the more known or the famous recording of it, just to be, you know. Opposing, and you're right. It can take down a song, and the example of that, which I hate to name her by name because I love her as an actress, but was Scarlett Johansson did a cover of all Tom Waits songs.
Oh, that's right.
And it was I mean, most of them were just like, it was a perfect example of
right.
what you're saying.
Because
I'm
it's
just
like,
going to be
why
so different. Yeah,
the song is so good as it is. These are some of the, you know, in Broadway, these are some of the best writers of music mm-hmm. in the world.
Ever. Yeah.
Why would you mess with their stuff? They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just get out there and do it. You
yeah.
know, how mm-hmm. how they intended, or at least how we hope that we thought that they intended it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can honor it.
Well, yeah. And now, let me ask you a question. Since you've sure. never seen Wicked, did mm-hmm. you... What did you think about that song? Would you have known
Is that it? From Wicked?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
no, it's lovely. I would never have put, you know, it's hard with just a 60 second slice of it. I don't have the source one in my head to compare it to.
Right. So that's a good thing though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because you're enjoying the song as a standalone piece of material.
How does it vary from the way you sing it in the show, Eden? How does that work?
I'm Not That Girl is a very intimate, introspective moment for the character, but it's more of a lullaby sounding.
Okay.
Like it almost has like a music box piano type rhythm in the background, like dee 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 dee.
How's that again?
It's one of my favorite songs in
the
show.
She's very musical,
isn't
she?
But this just kind of amps it up a little bit, gives it like more of a heartbeat, more of an energy. I don't know. I mean, people seem to really enjoy this version.
I liked it. And, you know, I even felt that this, and I often say this too, don't I, Paul? I even felt that this and your interpretation of this could even go a little country.
You know what? We were just talking
yeah.
about that in the car. We're
yeah.
like, there's a lot of little country moments in this entire album.
Yes.
But you know what? When I first started, we first started talking about doing an album about 4 years ago. And I said, the first time we sat down at a coffee shop, I said, okay, Eden, first of all, I have to say this. You know you're a country singer, right? And she's like, what? And I'm like, no, your voice is, it would be perfect. Now, we didn't go that far, but there are a few... There's a little twang in the album.
I'm a huge fan of country
absolutely.
Of today's country.
It's also, yeah, it's completely
right.
different from
yeah.
what it was.
And
like,
some
yeah.
of the classic country
right.
from the past.
Sure.
But I think where it's going is fantastic.
I sure. completely agree.
And this show, Nashville, which is...
That's
right.
Yeah. I'm right with you on that. It's like yeah. there's about 15, 20 years of country in between that I
right.
don't need. But this now,
yeah.
and then you get to like George Jones and Conway Twitty and Loretta mm. Lynn, and I'm all
those,
over that.
Those folks.
Yeah.
yeah. I finally thought
climb.
Of the example I couldn't think of before as far as one of the worst interpretations of a song. One of my favorite performers of all time, Otis Redding, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Yes.
Michael Bolton's cover of Dock of the Bay
oh,
makes me want to
no.
pull my own fillings out. Because it's like everything that's beautiful about that song, which is peace and tranquility, and Bolton's like, sit here, rest on my bones. Like, you can hear the aneurysm.
Just,
it's just,
oh my God.
It's, like, it's not about that. It's
okay,
about sitting on a dock. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. My little anti. My anti.
Track for him.
I know. I got to hear that. Anyway, sorry about that. That's my soapbox.
That's all right. That's very funny.
That's
my soapbox.
In all due respect to you, Mr. Bolton.
Of course.
Yes. Who we have on next week.
Yeah. Awkward.
Okay, so awkward. One of the things that the listeners might not know is that in addition to being a producing partners for this album, you were also partners in life. You're a married couple.
Yes.
What was that like in the studio? He said,
yeah.
he said knowingly.
I'll speak on that. Well, Joseph and I mean, we've known each other for a very long time. His sister and I used to work together at Disneyland, and he and his sister used to have a band that played in the LA circuit all the time when it was really like in its heyday, you know.
When the Sunset Strip was the Sunset Strip.
Right. And so I was familiar with his abilities as an arranger and a producer. And so fast forward years, we got married. Working on the project was interesting. I mean, I think that we really developed... our relationship got stronger personally, but professionally we really developed a way of communicating, but it wasn't easy. And I can see how working together as a married couple is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm,
but there were certain things that, not because of the way he handled it, because of my fragile artistic ego, you know, certain things that he would say to me that I wouldn't Blader, our vocal producer, would say to me, they'd say literally the exact same thing. Right. And from her, I was like, okay, no problem, I'll try again. And from him, I was be like, but you said that I was flat. There were times
I was like, I would be in the control room with my head in my hand, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to say this to her? Because you're talking over a talkback, and I'm like, shit.
Sorry.
It's the internet, don't worry
about it. I'm like, how am I going to say this to her? And I'm like, Eden, you look so nice today, and you sound amazing. I'm just, what do you think about trying? I don't know.
Not be flat this time, right?
And it's like, right? And I'm like, how do I? And so we tried this for some time, and I was like, you know what? I think we need to get a third party in the middle for at least this portion to do the vocal production. So I would say, like, to the vocal producer, I'd say, okay, here's what we need her to do. And then they would say, Eden, can you blah, blah, blah. And it worked really well at that point.
Right.
And it was, he asked me one time, you know, why is it that that Dina can say something, the exact same thing? And
Dina's the vocal producer, one of the vocal producers.
You know, I said, it's not that, it has nothing to do with I believe her over you. It has everything to do with I know she's not judging me. You know, because it was just me thinking, like, my husband thinks I sound bad today. You know what I mean?
It's a major vulnerability factor. When I'm performing, if Monica's in the audience, I'm always more nervous than I am.
Really?
Yeah. And we've been together 23 years.
Yeah.
You know?
But once I let go of that, I mean, I think that I got over that. And I think that if we were to do it today, I'd have no problem.
Were you over it at the mid-project, or were you over it sort of, did you sort of have a little angst about that through the whole thing, or?
Every day I had a breakdown every day.
There were tears.
I cried at least once every day. Seriously.
But unlike Joseph, Monica was probably, she was taking notes.
She'd actually prepared a slideshow after each performance.
She was, PowerPoint.
Wow. Well, you know what? We're going to talk more about this, but we have a live arts calendar.
We do. Do you want to kick it off, Michael?
I will
pay the bills for us?
I will. After a full and rewarding life as a world-renowned musician, aging Erica Morini inadvertently damages her legendary Stradivarius. A violin worth
millions. There's penicillin for that.
Is there?
Yes.
A violin worth millions that accompanied her throughout her long career on the top concert stages of the world. It's an act akin to scratching the face of the Mona Lisa, and she hires an unassuming but dedicated violin maker to restore her priceless instrument in secret. At first, she proves to be a difficult client, but the two develop an unexpected friendship over the priceless instrument in this inspired drama based on a true story that rocked the classical music world. Don't miss the Morini Strad starring the sensational Miss Mariette Hartley. Do you remember Mariette Hartley?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
Wonderful actress. Mm-hmm. Now on stage at Burbank's gorgeous Colony Theater located at 555 North 3rd Street in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. Now through January 13th, performances are Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 3 and 8, and Sundays at 2. For tickets, visit the Colony Theater, that's with an R-E, .org.
A scene for the first time on the West Coast, Obie Award-winning playwright Samuel D. Hunter's A Bright New Boise is presented at Rogue Machine. Tucker Smallwood, company member there, been a guest on the show
fabulous
a couple times.
Company, yeah.
At Rogue Machine as the final offering for their main stage 2012 season. This Drama Desk Award nominee is set in the corporate break room of a craft store in Idaho. A craft store has a corporate break room?
Must be a big-ass
craft store. Will, who has fled his rural hometown after a scandal at his evangelical church, comes to the Hobby Lobby for employment and to rekindle a relationship with his brooding teenage son, whom he gave up for adoption. Oh, no issues in this show, huh? These comedic misfits assemble and confront an unyielding world through the beige-tinted impossibility of modern faith. Nothing is pretty about A Bright New Boise, a play that marches in the footsteps of Sam Shepard's acid comedies set in the weird American West. Playwright Hunter has such highly sensitive antenna for the look and rhythm of mundane places that A Bright New Boise develops an authentic texture separate from other pieces in its genre. Says the Washington Post, this Los Angeles Times critic's pick is now on stage through January 27th at Theater, 5041 Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. For performance dates and times, call 855-585-5185 855. That's 855-585-5185. Or visit Rogue Machine Theater, once again with an RE.com. And if you go there, park, walk across the street, yeah. go yes. to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
There you go.
Best soul food over
there. And tonight at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
Don't answer until. Good.
We have a different act for me to produce, but I'm very excited. It's contemporary bluegrass. The boys are called the Birdhive Boys. Ooh. You might know them from New York. They're on tour, and they are sold out tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Sold out tonight. And
there's a call for bluegrass in the valley, apparently.
Exactly. Good. And on Sunday evening, Critchland Records brings in their show, the Salute to the Music of Jerry Bach and Sheldon Harnick.
Mm. Mr. Bruce Kimmel.
Mr. Bruce Kimmel, with a cast of 8 fabulous Broadway performers and 1 Mr. Hal Linden.
Oh, really?
A special guest star.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun evening.
Love yes. Mr. Linden. I've met so many people from Barney Miller except him.
Oh, really?
Because I became friends with Ron Glass, and then I met Abe Vigoda, and I met Ron Carey, who was on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Just a wonderful. They all stayed friends for years and years. When we get back to Eden's album, let's get back with a track.
Yeah.
Let's get back there. This one is also from the album Look Around, and this is a little slice of a song called, is it One Song Glory? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give it a listen.
One song, glory, one song before I go. Glory, one song to leave behind. Fine, one song, one last refrain. Glory, from the pretty boy frontman. Wasted opportunity. One song, he had the world at his feet. Glory in the eyes of a young girl. Fine, glory beyond the cheap colored lights. One song the sun sets, glory.
Wow, that's pretty.
It is. It's Thank gorgeous. You. I love the instrumentation behind it.
Is that now, I'm sorry, you know Rent.
I do.
Is this an understated version of the song?
Did we go
the other direction on this one.
It's a guy sings it in the show. It's very
you were
much,
in the show.
I was in the closing cast on Broadway. And it's very much a rock ballad, you know, very strong, at the top of his range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice to hear it like this.
It's definitely a departure from the original, but I have to say, like, that's one of the most talked about tracks on the album.
Yeah, this has become the standout favorite of everybody.
Me included.
It's such a journey. It's like, it's almost six minutes long almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a journey from top to bottom.
It doesn't sound, I mean, and this is a tribute to the two of you, it's so well executed.
Are you talking about Eden and me?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who else?
Michael keeps holding up those flashcards, so I have to say the right thing. It's so well executed and so economical in a good way that I think it's a tribute to the song to say that having not heard the original, it's more difficult for me to imagine it sung that way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really suited to a nice, subtle, kind of introspective read.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, especially coming from
That's
that show.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Yeah, I liked it very much. Very much. Well, and the other tracks, I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, are just as interesting. And such tracks as Stone Cold Sober from The Existence, Petrified from Taboo, I Know the Truth from Aida, I Miss the Mountains from Next to Normal, With You from Ghost, Once Upon a Time from Brooklyn, and the title song Look Around from Will Rogers Follies.
And this is I'm assuming it's available at all the outlets, CD Now, Amazon, iTunes, all those different places.
Major retailers, online, all of those.
And also on our website as well.
I was just going to ask you about that. What is the website?
EdenEspinosa.com.
EdenEspinosa.com. Okay.
Yes.
Well, and it was just released on December 18th.
So yeah. Yeah, they had they said they had their record release party here December 17th.
Yeah.
But yet those of you in New York, be watching your web and watching the website, because there will be a release party there at a TBA location.
It'll be in February, probably 2nd-ish week of February. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So.
Good. LA's got it all over New York.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Right? Selling you.
And we'll be sure to mention that as it gets closer. We'll be sure to tell people
absolutely
about that.
But the one thing I want to go back to something that I said earlier before we went into the arts calendar. And that was
about me looking like Howard Stern? Is that what you want to do?
No, not that far.
Okay. It's not about me?
It's about you and Joseph.
Okay.
No. No. It's
make
about
a great couple.
Their mission to make this music palatable for, Broadway music palatable for a record-buying public, as it well should mm-hmm. be. And, you know, I told you, Joseph, when we first spoke about Eden coming on the show, that my mentor, as you well know, and musically speaking, in my lifetime, was Rosemary Clooney. So she taught me everything about music.
One of my favorites.
And, of course...
To listen to that voice all day.
Yes. And, of course... She, like her contemporaries of the day, Helen O'Connell and Margaret Whiting and Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra, and the list goes on, got their hits off Broadway.
Yeah.
That's where
absolutely.
It, right? Yeah. One of Rosemary's biggest hits was from Pajama Game, Hey There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talked about. We were like, such great music comes from these writers of stage.
Right.
And where is it gone? Why is it? Where did it stop? When did it stop being on mainstream? And I think it's when, you know, during the rock and roll era, when all of the fire and flame started coming to music, and we kind of lost our way. We were like, oh, what about, you know, nice, subtle, well written music? What happened? Mm-hmm. You know, not that rock and roll isn't. I mean, I love rock.
Yeah.
But it kind of replaced it as opposed to coming alongside of it. And I'm like, let's bring it back in. Just a little bit, you know.
Well, and the other thing too that happened is that with the advent of the rock opera over the musical, the songs can't stand on their own. Right. You know, Evita has a couple of songs that can, you know, obviously Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and that. But a lot of them are just because it's sung dialogue.
Right.
You know, so the songs don't stand as you mentioned. Hey There is perfectly, it can stand alone beautifully. It has a whole story in and of itself.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But and I agree with what you just said, though. I do think the earlier rock operas, i.e. Jesus Christ Superstar, and what you just mentioned, Evita, in that sense, you know, they did have hits off of them. It's the more recent ones, that Next to Normal and those that mm-hmm. are fighting to, you know, they're great within the content of the show, but when you walk out, is the audience remembering it? Well, what you're doing is giving them an opportunity to really hang on to something.
Yeah.
You know, in a different kind of way.
Right.
To a market that doesn't necessarily have to go see the show.
Right. Or wouldn't. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, it is for what you just said, Joseph, about claiming this music and where did it go and what happened. And it's exactly why I started this supper club here, and it was something Rosemary and I spoke about frequently, and which was, I had the experience of working with her, or knowing her all of my life until the day she died, and also road managing her for 3 years of her life, and when there were really clubs to play in this country, when it was, you know, a touring thing to do, and to have that experience as a young man, and I was very young at the time, was so phenomenal for me. I loved it. And I said to her, I think it's important that your music stays alive. And someday, somehow, I am going to have my own supper club, and I will facilitate that with nightclub artists from that appreciate the Great American Songbook and Broadway stars.
That's
who
fantastic,
can do the music of Broadway. So Paul's been there. He's seen this himself firsthand.
Oh, you should play it. It's a beautiful room.
You
should play
it. It's dedicated to her. She's always there for me. There's always one table that's not seated, and it has a glass of white wine on it. And,
that's amazing.
That's
her.
Yeah. Wow.
So I applaud you for doing what you are doing with this album, and I hope it is tremendously successful.
Thank you.
It's already successful on the charts now.
Is there a person in your life that, like, and Michael's speaking about Rosemary Clooney and obviously the effect that she had on his creative life. Are there isolated people that you can think of that are people that have inspired you in your journey, or does anyone come to mind quickly, or is it too many people to list?
It's a lot of people, yeah. Because when I was younger, I think it was just like different genres of music that really influenced me. And as I got older, there were the greats. Like even in the last few years, like I've become really, really familiar with Ella Fitzgerald. Only in the last, I mean, I knew she was, I knew her music, but like really listening and tearing it apart and like, wow, this, who sings like this anymore? Wow. Rosemary Clooney, White Christmas is one of my most favorite. But Eva Cassidy, I'd say overall is one of my biggest influences.
Absolutely.
Just,
yeah.
Her musicality, her voice, her reinterpretation of songs that we all know and love. She's, yeah, I'd have to say Eva Cassidy. Yeah.
Well, it's very important that all of those people that you just spoke about and many others like them, that they still are introduced to the generations.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no, very much so.
Musically speaking.
You didn't know you were doing a public service, did you?
You
thought
I'm
it was just
to.
An album.
No, but
you
I'm know, happy to.
We have 4 minutes, Michael. We have
we
to
we have to baptize her.
Ask her to tell a story.
Yes.
I should have told you this before we started, but I'll give.
Hate
I'll
to spring
you know.
It on you.
I'm
like
sure you do.
Performers of your of you know that have as lengthy stage time that you have about something that happened, a funny mishap on stage, and
embarrassing, awkward,
an embarrassing, awkward thing that happened during
have
performance.
A million of them, right?
Yeah, I have so many, but most of them, I mean, not that I never make mistakes because I make plenty of them, but most of my most embarrassing moments have to do with me being the bystander of. Happening to somebody else.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
But so I can like throw some other people under the bus.
that's what
I'm really
we're here
good
for.
At that.
I mean, there were so many. I'll say a story from the Pantages. Just because it's LA and we're in LA. Megan Hilty, who was my Glinda, I did Wicked with her the most. So we opened and closed LA here. Wicked LA. There was a moment in Popular, which was one of my favorite numbers to do because she was so much fun. She would do this right when Glinda was turning Elphaba's dress, trying to turn her dress into a ball gown. So she'd do this little like arm movement and say ball gown, and it wouldn't work. So the second time she would do it, she'd always do this really deep knee bend. And one time she exhaled, she went like she was trying really hard. And blew directly up into her mic, which then made the biggest fart sound ever. Like, it was echoing through the Pantages. And as she was knee bending.
With a squat, yes.
Yeah. So it came out. I just bowed my head and my shoulders are shaking up and down. The audience goes insane. And then she says, Elfie, excuse you. Blames it on me.
Smart of that lady.
Oh, isn't she quick?
Yes. Brilliant. Brilliant.
But there are so many little moments like that, but that has to be one of my favorites.
That's
very
not,
hard to recover.
That's not throwing her under the bus. That's
threw me
that's
under the
honoring.
Yeah.
Oh, that, really.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That is very funny. And she's having a gorgeous time on television.
Absolutely.
Right now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's coming out with an album too early this year in the next few months. And
the new season starts up very soon, February 5th.
Yeah,
I think.
A couple weeks.
Yeah.
We're really happy for her. She's such a great person.
Very talented lady. Yes,
she's
she
amazing.
Is indeed. Good. Well, I can't say what a pleasure it is. To
it's
have
been so
both
great meeting
you.
Both
thank
of you. Really, really
us.
Enjoyed
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
You are
and the
so
album,
welcome.
The album is Look Around,
yes.
Eden Espinosa. And we're going to play another one of these for those that tuned in a little later. We'll play one of these previews to take us off the air so
sure.
we can hear this again.
Hey.
Thank you again.
And,
Happy New Year,
fantastic.
Eden. Happy
likewise.
New Year, Joseph.
Happy New Year to you.
Peter. Paul.
Howard.
Mary. Cadbury. Where are you going with this? Okay, this is I'm Not That Girl, Eden Espinosa. The album is Look Around.
We
listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.